Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Birmingham, Michigan, and played basketball at Duke, and led them to the 2001 National Championship while earning a degree in comparative religion. He played 13 seasons in the NBA for the Memphis Grizzlies, Houston Rockets, and Miami Heat, and won two NBA championships with the Heat. Today, he and his wife Heidi run the Battier Take Charge Foundation. His name, Shane Battier, and we're honored to have him as our guest. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to a most extraordinary young man, Shane Battier. Shane, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Hey, Jack. I'm very honored to be your guest today. You have an esteemed group of people you've interviewed, and I'm happy to join your show.
Can we start by talking about your mom and your dad and your childhood, please?
I grew up in a small suburb of Detroit, Michigan, Birmingham, Michigan, and I was lucky to have enough. And we didn't have a lot, but we always had enough. And I grew up in a house that stressed education, stressed family, stressed being a good person. And, you know, ironically, I had a pretty terrific basketball career, but sports were never emphasized. And the spoils of sports were never emphasized. It was about doing your best, about being a valuable member of your team, treating people with respect, and doing the best you can in school. And I was lucky to learn right from wrong at a very, very early age from Ed and Sandy Battier, and to this day they're still the most influential people in my life. And I wouldn't be here without a question, without their guidance and the lessons that they taught me from an early age. And lucky to have two brothers and two sisters who I grew up with. I'm right in the middle. I'm the tallest, but I'm right in the middle. But it was a very sports-oriented family. And growing up in Michigan, of course, you have the four seasons, and our calendar was divided into sports seasons. In the fall, you played football and basketball, and you played basketball in the winter. When springtime rolled around, you played baseball, and in the summer, you played everything, everything under the sun. And while those sports weren't emphasized in our household, there was certainly a passion and a love for sports. And being from Detroit, obviously huge Detroit Lions fan and Red Wings fan and a Pistons fan and a Tigers fan. And those are some of the best early memories I have while watching those sports with my family growing up. And just growing up in Detroit, my father worked for a small trucking company in the auto industry, as most people are in Detroit. And for 40 years, his company hauled steel all over the country for the big three, and stored big coils of steel for the stamping mills and stamping plants. And you know, what I learned from my father was that to make it, you have to have a mindset that's so prevalent in Detroit, and it's the assembly line mentality, where you show up, you do your job, do the best you can, and at the end of the day, you go home and have a beer with your family and enjoy them until tomorrow. And his work ethic, his consistency, and his drive every single day was something that I watched and I learned and tried to emulate in my own life, even at an early age. My mom is by far the toughest lady that I've ever met in my entire life, and she didn't take any grief from anybody. And she's very outspoken, very passionate, but she was always a defender of the poor and the defender of those who couldn't defend themselves. And so from her, I learned an unbelievable compassion and the ability to stand up for yourself and believe in what's right. And if you have that conviction of what's right is right, then you can never fail. And so growing up, you know, I was just so blessed to be surrounded by an amazing family of love and support that appreciated education, appreciated competition, appreciated just opportunity in life. And I think that's what's carried me throughout my 37 years.
We're talking to Shane Battier. When he was in eighth grade at Country Day, he was 6'7". He went there, played basketball in 1997. He was named Naismith High School Player of the Year out of Country Day. Also, he had a 3.96 GPA and was named the Outstanding Student your senior year. You could have gone anywhere. Every school was after you. Shane, why did you select Duke?
Well, if you've ever been to Duke University's campus, you can see how easily I fell in love with the place. First of all, it's a gorgeous, gorgeous place to go to school. Obviously, with my Michigan ties, I felt strongly about Michigan and Michigan State. Coach Izzo had just gotten to Michigan State. I knew he was going to be a great coach. I didn't know he was going to be that great that soon. but when I had an opportunity to go to Duke University and play for the legendary Mike Krzyzewski, more importantly, get a degree from a world-class university, it really combined everything I was looking for in a school. And I loved my 4 years at Duke. I was sad to leave Michigan, but I was also excited. I felt that I'd done everything I could in the state of Michigan, and I was excited to branch out, to meet new people, try new experiences, and try to have success in a completely foreign arena in the great state of North Carolina. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful 4 years for me.
What's the biggest thing, Shane, you learned from Coach K about life?
Oh, I learned so much from Coach K. He is the reason why he's the greatest basketball coach and arguably the greatest coach in sports. But the one thing that he stressed every single day was the ability to move on to the next play. And in basketball, it's an apt metaphor for life, because in basketball, you're presented with so many opportunities to make a play, whether it's to grab a rebound or grab a loose ball or stop your man on defense or make a shot or make a great pass. It's not necessarily what happens during that single play, but it's how you react to what happened on that single play. If you have a great play, what do you do? Do you celebrate and pat yourself on the back and pose to the cameras and point your girlfriend in the stands? No. You get back into the end and see if you can do that thing again and again and again. And on the other side of the token, if you have utter failure, if you embarrass yourself, you trip over your feet, you make an embarrassing play on national television, everyone's laughing at you, what do? Do you sit and you lament and feel sorry for yourself and say, woe is me, it's not in the cards for me? No. You get up, dust yourself up, you move on to the next play. And the most successful people in not only sports but in life are those who are able to move on to the next opportunity, the next challenge, the next play, and attack that next play with a passion and with a discipline and with a hunger and a focus that that is so amazing that no one could ever tell you if you had success or failure just 5 minutes before prior. And the people who can have that mentality are those who are successful. And that's what Coach K taught me, is to have that next play mentality. Next play. Focus on the next play. Give everything you can to the most important task that's in front of you, and that's the next play.
Coach K says this about Shane. He personifies what you want in a basketball player. He has a positive impact on everything we do. So when you judge him by his stats, which are great, that's not nearly the entire picture. It's leadership, his ability to focus, his ability to get everyone to believe there's nobody close to him. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Shane Battier. 2001, he led Duke to the NCAA championship. He also was named 2001 Naismith College Player of the Year, the only person ever to be Naismith High School and College Player of the Year. And then you're drafted as the sixth pick by the Memphis Grizzlies, where you played there from 2001 through six. Your first season, what was the difference between college and the NBA, Shane?
Oh, boy. Well, I was so fortunate to have a tremendous high school and college career. Three state titles in high school and a national championship, two Final Fours in college. And when I left college in 2001, my four-year record was 131-15. No one has ever won more games in college basketball than I was able to in 4 years. I was very, very fortunate. Well, when I got drafted by the Memphis Grizzlies in 2001, at the time, they had the lowest winning percentage of the four major North American sports: football, basketball, baseball, hockey. So literally, they were the worst team in professional sports, the worst organization. So to go from the best organization, best four-year run of any player, Duke University, to the worst franchise in pro sports history, some would consider that a culture shock, and it was. And but I looked at it as an amazing opportunity to come in and change a culture, and change an entire organization, change the way they think about themselves, the way they think about success. And it wasn't easy. I remember my by December 1st, my rookie year, I'd lost more games for the Memphis Grizzlies than I had in 4 years at Duke University. And it was tough. It was tough. But I was luckily surrounded by a core of three or four guys who really believed, who wanted to change the culture, who believe in each other. And we say, you know what, we're not going to let the pessimism, we're not going to let the negativity, we're not going to let the malaise that has followed this organization around get us down. But we're going to come to work every single day, we're going to get better. And with that spirit, we brought more people on board, who believed. And when you know it, 3 years later, the lowly Memphis Grizzlies won 50 games in the NBA, which is a tremendous number, and made the playoffs. And I'm so proud of the last 3 years. My tenure in Memphis, we made the playoffs three straight years. And I don't think too many people would have given us a shot that, you know, the Grizzlies were going to make the playoffs 3 out of 5 years, coming from the worst spot in pro sports. And so that's something I'm tremendously, tremendously proud of. And you know, championships don't always have to end with trophies and parades. That's nice. I've done that, and it's awesome. It's fun. But there's also amazing gratitude in changing a culture and changing the course of people and making something great out of nothing. And I think that's what we did during our time in Memphis.
The late, great Chuck Daly once told me that the difference between coaching college and pros, he said, in college, you're an uncle, and you coach 12 nephews. In the pros, you're coaching 12 CEOs. Shane Beatty, you're an exception. You were the ultimate team player. Why?
It was the best way to stay on the floor. It was the best way to earn playing time. I had one simple task as a basketball player, and it was selfish, but it ended up improving the team. I never wanted my coach to feel comfortable with me off the floor. I wanted him to sweat every single night saying, oh my goodness, how can I sit Shane Battier? I need to find a way to play him more. And how did I do that? I was the most prepared. I was the most positive. Every opportunity I was given, I played my tail off. I played to win. I played for my teammates. I tried to elevate their play. And I knew if I did those things, there's no way that my coach could sit me down. And so it was, in a lot of ways, a very selfish mindset. But at the same time, it was about the team. And it was about, look, I know I can help my team win. I need the opportunity. How do I do that? And so for me, it's never been about individual success. I didn't start off this game by saying, you know what, I want to be National Player of the Year. I've always wanted to be part of a winning team, because that always feels much, much better. I knew if I did that, you know what, individual accolades may or may not follow, but it's so important for me to be part of a good team and have an integral role, and that was my mindset.
From 2006 through 2011, Shane played for the Houston Rockets. Earlier in an answer, he said he was lucky to be surrounded by, well, with the Rockets, you played with a man named Yao Ming, a Chinese Paul Bunyan. The guy was 7'6", 310 pounds. What was that like, Shane Battier?
One of my favorite people in the world, Yao Ming. He literally has the biggest heart I know. But literally, at 7'6", he makes you feel tiny. But the beauty of Yao Ming from China, the first great Chinese basketball player to play in the NBA, the pressure that Yao Ming was under, you know, 1.5 billion people watching his every move, cheering for him, hoping, pinning their hopes on him to lead China into basketball prominence. The way that Yao Ming handled the pressure of his country was unbelievable. He did it with grace, he did it with humor, and he really was inspiring to be around. And unfortunately, his career got cut short because of injuries, because his body literally was too large to carry his frame and had multiple foot injuries. But one of the best players I've played with, just an absolute monster, but his work ethic and his care for team always inspired me to be at my best, because if Yao Ming was going to bring it, I was going to be there, right there with him.
On December 8th, 2011, free agency opened, and you signed with the Miami Heat that day. Why?
Well, the weather's not bad in Miami. And I said, you know, I'm getting old. This good weather will be nice on my bones. When I was a free agent, I was only a free agent once in my NBA career. It was after my 10th year. And so it was fun to go through the process. And at that point, I wanted to win a championship. And I had helped transform the Memphis Grizzlies into a playoff contender. I had great years at Houston. We made the playoffs multiple times. But I really, really wanted to try to climb the mountaintop. And there were some great teams that offered me some opportunity. But in the end, I wanted the best combination of being able to win, but have a role in that win. You know, because that's maybe the biggest misnomer when athletes say, hey, I want to win. They want to win, but they also want to have a hand in their team winning. And the Miami Heat offered me that chance to go play with some of the best players in the world, LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, three future Hall of Famers. It was just too much to pass up.
Speaking of one of the best players I ever played with, let's talk about LeBron. First, when you played against him, you guarded him, and then when he was a teammate, please.
LeBron's the best. He really is a fantastic teammate. I've played with some really great players. You know, Yao Ming is an exceptional person. LeBron James is an exceptional person, and it's rare to have a superstar as big as any in the cosmos that has a genuine love for his teammates like LeBron does, who takes delight in their success like LeBron does, and that is tremendously inspiring for your teammates to know that the best player in the world cares about you and wants you to succeed. And his talent is obviously otherworldly. You know, I don't have enough adjective to describe how good he actually is in the basketball court. He made my job a heck of a lot easier when he was on the floor. But I enjoyed just trying to get into the mind of the greatest player of our generation, and I tried to teach him a few of my old man tricks, which I think he listened for the most part. And but it was just a magical ride with you know, a great person and a great teammate and a heck of a ball player.
We're talking to Shane Beatty, who's known as the No Stats All Star. And I'm Jack Rasulin, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Crisula, and we're with Shane Battier, who won two NBA championships, 2012-2013, with the Miami Heat. Shane, what's the difference between regular season play and the playoffs?
Oh, there's nothing like the NBA playoffs. Every possession, every moment means so much more. In the regular season, you play so many games. You play 82 games. Half the time, you can't remember where you were the night before or where you're going to be the next night. And so not that you go through the motions, but it's pretty routine. But in the playoffs, everything's heightened. The emotions, the intensity, the fans smell it, the players smell it, the coaches smell it. And so the adrenaline is something that I miss from not playing, from being retired now. But you walk into the arena, you know that everything is on the line. Everything you've worked for literally 10 months is on the line, and it makes you feel alive.
2012, you win your first NBA championship with the Heat. What's that feeling like, and how did you and Heidi celebrate later that night?
Well, the beauty of winning a championship is the moment the buzzer sounds, and you understand the sacrifice that you make. You understand the effort that goes into becoming a champion. You understand the discipline, the camaraderie, the team, the teamwork, the journey. You understand what that's about. Before you win a championship, you try like hell to do the best you can and hope that's enough. But it's not until you really do it and you hold that trophy over your head that you understand everything was worth it. And you do it all over again for that single moment to lift that trophy above your head. And that's the best part, in that single moment of winning a championship. And that night we had a great night celebrating with teammates. Miami's a pretty good place to win a championship. They're known for a party or two every now and then. But at the end of the night, we decided to take it old school. My sister was in town with some friends, and we went to Denny's and had some moons over Miami in Miami to celebrate the culmination of a long journey.
2013, Shane wins a second one with the Heat. There's a man, Daryl Morey. He's been in front office with Houston Rockets for years, and he says Shane Battier is the most abnormally unselfish basketball player I've ever seen. Shane, why so unselfish?
Again, it's about the success of the team. And I play for so many great coaches. A coach named Hubie Brown, he said, look, when you go uptown, Jack, you all ride the same trolley uptown. And no one asks you how many points you scored or how many rebounds did you grab. What they ask is, hey, were you part of that team? Let me see your championship ring. That's all that matters. And I've always just received much more fulfillment from being part of a special group than I have individually. And that's probably why I'm a bad golfer. But that's my excuse, and I'm sticking to it. And it all stems from my parents. And growing up in Detroit, being a part of the assembly line, that team, do the best you can for your teammates.
In 2009, the New York Times wrote a long article about Shane Battier. Part of it says this: Battier's game is a weird combination of obvious weaknesses and nearly invisible strengths. When he's on the court, his teammates get better, often a lot better, and his opponents get worse, often a lot worse. He may not grab huge numbers of rebounds, but he has the uncanny ability to improve his teammates' rebounding. He doesn't shoot much, but when he does, he takes only the most efficient shots. Pretty tall cotton. Leading up to that, what does team mean to Shane Battier?
Well, for me, team is a group of individuals united in a single goal. And in basketball, it's so cut and dry. And the beauty of basketball is the scoreboard. You know exactly where you stand. Are you hurting the team? Are you helping the team? Are you fooling people? Are you overachieving? Are you underachieving? It was very black and white. Very black and white, winners and losers. But just being part of something special, my wife and I run the Battier Take Charge Foundation, and that's sort of a different team. And being able to use our resources, use our platform to raise money for college education scholarships and help people unlock their dreams through college education, it's a different team. And the scoreboard may be a little bit different, but team is about using your skills and your God-given abilities to accomplish something bigger than yourself.
What's the biggest thing, Shane, you learned from your glorious 13-year NBA career?
Oh, wow. That's a wide-arcing question. The biggest thing that I learned, the most valuable thing, is to appreciate opportunity. And because not everyone has opportunity in this world. And if you have the opportunity to do something meaningful, then pour your soul into it. Believe in it. Believe in yourself. Believe that you're worthy of the opportunity. But don't let that opportunity pass you by without really giving it your effort. And if that becomes a habit, great things will follow.
Let's talk about two other NBA stars. Kobe Bryant first, please.
Well, Kobe is one of my favorite players of all time. I hated playing against him because he scored a lot of points against me, but he's the best competitor I've ever played against. And his mental capacity and his mental focus was unlike any other player that I played against. I remember my rookie year I played against him, and I was a hot shot rookie out of Duke. I thought I had the world by the tail. Well, Kobe Bryant proceeded to score 56 points on me in only three quarters. He didn't even play the fourth quarter. They were beating us so badly. So thankfully, he didn't play in the fourth quarter. But I sort of made it a challenge, like a life goal of mine, to learn how to guard Kobe Bryant, the most mentally tough player I played against. And we had some fantastic battles, but some playoff battles, and sometimes he get the best of me, and sometimes I get the best of him. But there's no one who I respect more as a competitor than Kobe.
Shane Battier is also known as the ultimate glue guy. One other person, Tim Duncan, please.
Well, for my money, Tim Duncan is the greatest power forward in this game, one of the top five players to play basketball. His consistency is just amazing. He's darn near 40 years old, and Spurs are if not the best team in the league, in the top two this year, and he is just the ultimate example of consistency and excellence. And he does it in a way that doesn't bring a lot of attention to himself, but he should be commended. And when he walks away, there should be as many parades thrown for him as there is for Kobe Bryant right now.
We're talking to Shane Battier. When we come back, we'll ask him about the Battier Take Charge Foundation. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to Shane Battier, who with his wife Heidi, a few years ago, established the Battier Take Charge Foundation. Shane, tell us about that foundation, please.
Well, I believe in opportunity. My wife Heidi and I strongly believe in opportunity. And we strongly believe, my wife is a former school teacher in Memphis, that the best way to unlock the potential in your life is through a college education. And so when we made it to the NBA, we said, you know what, it's our job, it's our responsibility to give back, to make our communities better. And we felt that trying to raise awareness through education and trying to help some really, really smart kids, some awesome kids, unlock their potential through college education was our duty. And so we started the Battier Take Charge Foundation. You can check out what we're doing at takechargefoundation.org. And it's some of the most meaningful work that we've done. We have 15 kids in our scholarship program right now, and graduated four kids, and these kids are changing the world. And we feel very, very proud to be part of their journey. And there's no question that I would not be in the position that I was without the help of others growing up. And so we live by a simple motto: do well, do good. There's nothing wrong with doing the best you can, trying to unlock your dreams and climb the professional ranks. But if you don't do good, you don't give back, you don't give of yourself to the community and the world that we live in, it's hollow. And so that's all we're trying to do. And it's just trying to do our part make the world a better place through the merits of education.
Speaking of education, 15,000 kids enter the ninth grade in the Detroit public school system each year. 15,000. 4,000 of those, Shane, will graduate high school. That's a little more than 25%. Only 4% of those 15,000, 600, will earn a college degree. What's the solution?
Well, first of all, we need more role models in our school systems, in our underserved areas, to say, you know what? You can do it. You can do it. There's such a negative cloud hanging over our underserved areas where they don't think that success or a college education is possible. And we need role models. We need to say, you know what, there are avenues, and there are people just like you who, if you're motivated, can find a way to make it happen. And that's us as a community to raise the awareness and to help. And I strongly believe in the power of role models, seeing people just like you succeed, and if they can do it, I can do it. And if we can do that, you will see that number that rise. Not easy, but nothing in this world is easy that's worthwhile. And that's a message that should go hand in hand with, yes, it is possible.
If there's a mom listening tonight, Shane, whose son has just quit high school, what would you say to that mom?
I would say, stay positive. Stay positive. Stay positive. And instead of focusing on what could go wrong without a college education, stress what is right if you stay the course. You stay the course of education. What are the possibilities for you? How can you unlock not only your life, but unlock the potential for your future wife or your future husband or your kid's future? And that's difficult for a young person to understand, but to try to stress the long-term view and to inspire them that, look, it's tough, but it's worthwhile. It's worthwhile.
You've lived your entire life walking to the tune of a different drummer. You may be the only NBA star in the last 50 years who has a degree in comparative religion. You were totally unselfish. You were the no-stats all-star. So you were questioned every day. You were bullied as a kid because you were different. Talk to us about being bullied today.
Well, I've always been different. Growing up in Birmingham, Michigan, I was the only minority in my 400 kid school. My father's black, my mother's white, and so I was different. To most of the white kids, I was the black kid. When I went to the inner city to play basketball, I was the white kid from the suburb. I was always different. I always stuck out. I was a foot taller than my closest friends. I was a little awkward, and I just never felt I fit in. And I was lucky to have basketball. I was lucky to have school. I threw myself into my schooling and my basketball because those are two places that I knew that my differences, externally at least, didn't make a difference. If I worked hard enough in school, if I worked hard enough in the basketball court, I was going to have success. And I lost myself in that train of thought. And I came to embrace being different. And I came to embrace being taller than everybody else. I came to embrace being multiracial, that I wasn't like everybody else. And it really was a chain that was unshackled. And I derived great confidence from it. And that's a stark contrast from growing up, because when you're a kid, you just want to fit in. You don't want to be different. You don't want to be like everybody else and do the same things everyone else does and just fit in. But I wouldn't trade the experience of being different and those feelings of uncomfortableness and awkwardness for anything, because it shaped me into the man today who appreciates diversity, who appreciates adversity, and know that both of those things have shaped me to the point where I am today.
Speaking of embracing something different, how many times, Shane Battier, have you heard Shane Battier will someday be a senator or a president? And
you know what?
Will that happen?
That's a very flattering compliment. I don't see that at this point in my life. There are a lot of things I want to do before I consider a future political run. I'm not saying never. I'm not saying never, but there are a lot of people that I want to help and some things that I want to accomplish. I just got back from Peru. I climbed a bucket list item of mine. I climbed to Machu Picchu and saw the Incan ruins. And so I want to do some fun things like that before I settle into a richly responsible job like government.
You and Heidi have two terrific children. First child, Zeke, great name. What's it like being this iconic basketball dad, and to this little boy, you're just daddy?
Well, I was lucky that my son was around for two of the championship parades, and he got to know LeBron James. He was super young, about four years old, and so he thought that was pretty normal to have championship parades and roll around with LeBron James. And so a little different upbringing, but I'm just dad. When I try to tell him what to do on the basketball court, he rolls his eyes and says, "Dad, you don't know anything." And so for as glamorous as the NBA life may seem, I'm just dad. And hopefully I can be as wonderful of a dad to my son Zeke that my dad, Big Ed Battier, was to me. And like I said, he's the best coach I ever played for, and he never talked about performance. He talked about the things that truly matter in sports and the life lessons that you learn, teamwork and hustle and sportsmanship and responsibility and trying your best. And he's the reason I had a nice NBA career.
As our time winds down together, last question, what advice would you give to our young listeners this evening?
I would encourage not only our young listeners, but all listeners to give of yourself. And you'd be surprised that when you have a purity of giving, and you give not expecting something in return, but you give to make your team better, your family better, your friends better, and your community, our world together, it's amazing, amazing how much you receive in return. And I can't understate that, overstate that enough. Give of yourself and you will receive tenfold what you put into it.
Shane Battier, the greatest sermon given had no words, and you live that every day. So Heidi and you, please keep up the great work.
Thank you very much, Jack. I appreciate it.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall.